Today's daf, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is Shkalim, daf Dalet. And we're holding at Halacha Dalet at the bottom of Gimel Amud Beit. And so, we spoke about the Halacha about Noshim and Avadim and Ketanim, and we're continuing in that Halacha. So we spoke about, remember, the difference between anyone who is under the age of 20, that we won't be mamashkein. And we spoke about the mashkon on people who are themselves not really chayev. So even though, if these people give a chatzi shekel, we are mekabel the chatzi shekel from them. Now remember that this relates also to the Ben Buchri issue. Because basically what it's saying is that even though when an individual brings a shekel that he's not really chayev to bring, there's a chashash that that shekel will not have been given over to the tzibur, yofe yofe, and therefore will be trying to purchase the korbanos hatzibur from an individual's cash, which is a big no-no. Either we're not chashash that they weren't meiser yofe yofe, or the other approach is, that once something is given over, then the kvias of Bezdin, that this is the shekel, makes it part of the carbon sibur come hell or high water. So they will be makabu miyata. Most of the mefarshim say that we have to be certain that they gave it over yafa yafa. So it's really sort of a continuation from Ben Buchri, who says that if the kohen gives, it's not a chet, because we're samech that he gives it yafa yafa. How about if a goy or a kuti gives a shekel? So ein mekablim mehem, that for sure we will not accept for them, even if they give it. And that we're going to see, that's from the time of Ezra. We found that the kutim, particularly at that time, remember the kutim were the goyim that had been brought in a change of populations, one of the attempts to destroy Israel. And they were moved into the area of the Aseres HaShvatim. And they became Gerim because of the fact that they had been attacked by lions, and they realized that they don't know what it means to live in Eretz Yisrael and what the dinim are of life in Eretz Yisrael. So they became Gerim. So it was a big machlokus whether they were called Gerei Arayot, or are they just lion Gerim, meaning they never really were interested in Geris, they just, the lions scared them into Geris, and therefore they're not really Gerim Shlemi, or are they Gerei Emet? So we're going to see in the Gemara how this machlokas about kusim relates to that machlokas. But in any event, later on, when the Bnei Yehuda were coming back to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, they gave them hell. And these kutim became part of the anti-Beis HaMikdash movement, and they made it difficult to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And because of that, they refused to accept anything from any of those goyim. And that's a pasuk that we'll see later on. So we will not accept from them donations to the Beis HaMikdash, certainly will not accept from them shkolim. We'll see all the details in the Gemara. And furthermore, ein mekabli miyadam, kinei zavim, v'kinei zavot, v'kinei yoldot, we won't accept from them, even if they are trying to bring korbones, let's say from a zov, or a zova, or an ayoledes, or chataot v'ashamot. Now this could mean even Nochrim, right? So we won't be makabel. Let's say a goy was over on Avodah Zarah. So he wants to bring a korban. He realizes he did something wrong, even from the point of view of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Nayach. Or maybe he was Gezel, and he was Kefer, and now he wants to bring an Asham on Kfiras HaPikadon and stuff like that, which they're chayev on. We will not accept such korbanas from them. Zehaklal. Kol shenider v'nidev mekabli miyada. So anything that can be given as a nedara, a nedova, or a neder, so that would include even a korban shlomim, correct? Because, I mean, chatas an asham, obviously, I cannot be neder v'neidev. But l'chaira, I can be neder v'neidev anything, which it could be either oil of a shlomi. Now, that's a big machlokas because some hold, this is going only a little bit segalili. Others, specifically Rabbi Akiva, he paskin that a goy is only able to bring an oila, and only an oila's behema, not anything else, certainly not a korban shlomi. So the Mishnah seems to be like Rabbi Yosi Aglivi. Because here it says anything. So that, yes, but kol she'eino nidav v'nidav, anything that you cannot give as a neder, that we will not be mekabel from them at all. V'chein meforash al yedei Ezra. And this is exactly what it says in Sefer Ezra, where the goyim and the kusim came to donate money for the Beis HaMikdash. So Ezra said to them, absolutely not. Lo lachem v'lonu livnot bayit Eloheinu. It's not for you and for us to build the house for our God. Ki anachnu yachad nivneh l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. We are going to do this on our own. So they don't have anything to do with them and refuse to accept anything. So this teaches that all of those people, these were goyim and kusim, we will not allow them to participate. And therefore, we won't allow them to give shkolim. Now, on the surface, this pasuk appears to be irrelevant. Because what the pasuk is talking about over there is the binyan habayit. And what the shkolim that we're talking about over here is for the bringing of korbanos. So how are we bringing a raya from one to the other? Later on, we're going to see that the shiarei halishka, which are the leftovers of the shkalim, that are in the chamber where we store the money of the shkalim, but they're not inside of the actual containers that were used, of the nine saw containers, the large containers that were used for storing the shkalim that were going to be used for the korbanos. Anything that's left over is called shiarei halishka. And the shiarei halishka was indeed used for many things that are specifically the things that Ezra said, we don't want you to have a piece of the action in, as we're going to see later on in the Gemara. So that's why this pasuk actually is relevant to the dinim of shkolim, of the kusim and the goyim. We now get into a very, very tough sugya. That's called kalbon. So the question is, the word kalbon, I don't know exactly where it comes from. But what a kalbon is an additional amount of money. We'll see it's a machlokas of how large it is, but that a small amount of additional money has to be added to the machzis hashekel. Now, there's a tremendous machlokas in the Gemara, and then there's a machlokas among the Rishonim, how to understand the Gemara, about what the point of the kalbon is. So the simple way that most of the Mefarshim understand the kalbon is broken into two possibilities. One is Rabbi Meir's approach, that the kalbon is actually part of the chiyuv of the deraisa of the karbon, of the shekel. And the reason that Rabbi Meir says this is because since HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Moshe Rabbeinu the coin of the shekel, and he says, Ze yitnu kol over al pkudim kaz ze yitnu, therefore, you have to give a kalbon. Now, it's a big machlokas how to understand that. Most of the mefarshim understand it to mean the way the lashon of the Tosefta is mashma, that according to Rabbi Meir, when you bring a machzis hashekel, you're not exchanging anything. You're just bringing a straight machzis hashekel. You need to add the value of the kalbon. Why? Because since it says kazeh, and the coin that was shown to Moshe was a perfect shekel, so then that means you cannot bring a shekel that probably contains some dross metals, because it's not a perfect machzis shekel, and therefore, and besides that, it's a brand new coin, and it's a perfect condition, and it's an actual perfect weight. So then that means the Torah was mechayev you to bring this coin, and you've got to therefore make up for the difference between the coin that you're bringing and the coin that you actually should have brought, which should have been perfect and isn't. That's the way most learn. We'll see that the Rambam has a classically, insanely brilliant understanding without any of this added information, which has nothing to do with what Rabbi Meir said, which is classic Rambam. Rabbi Meir said exactly what he meant. And you don't have to put in any pirushim. Well, therefore it has to be perfect, blah, blah, blah. None of that. Okay, well, we'll get to that in a moment. So, but that's the simple meaning of Rabbi Meir. The other approach to the kalbon, I want you to know this is one of the most difficult sugyas in the Masechet. So it's really kedai to get it clear, because you can't imagine how much has been written on the sugya of the kalbon, because it's so unbelievably confusing. So this is the simple way that most understand Rabbi Meir. The other approach to a kalabon is that the meaning of kalabon is hechreya. Hechreya means it's the price of the exchange of a coin. It could also mean it's the hechreya in terms of making sure that you've got the full value of the coin. But it's paid to the shulchani. So in other words, if you're going to present a shekel shalem, which, by the way, at the time of the Mishnah, the shekel shalem was called the sela. It's the machzis ha-sela that is called the shekel, which is really only a chatzi shekel in terms of the value of the shekel in the Torah. So don't get confused by the terminology. Sometimes the word shekel for shekel in the Torah is used, in which case it would actually be double, but two shalem. So the idea over here of the sela and the machzis ha-sela, which was given, so that would be the shear of the shekel in the Torah. If you're bringing a sela coin to a shulchani, and you say, I want this to be exchanged for two machzis ha-shekels so that I can bring my machzis ha-shekel, you have to pay for the exchange. There's always a price that's given to the shulchani, and that price is the kalban. That's what the kalban is called, and because of that, you're always going to have to pay that if you're making a actual shekel, not a machzis ha-shekel donation. If you're bringing the machzis ha-shekel, then according to the Tanakhama, who argued with Rabbi Meir, then you don't have to pay the kalban. Okay, some want to say that the meaning of kalban is that it's a combination of kal bain. It's the slight difference between the original coin that you're giving and the exchange, or maybe it's kal bain. It's the slight difference that you're giving in order to make up the difference between this coin and the actual coin that you're expected to give in the Torah. Usually, those kind of etymologies are used to excuse a word that is imported into Lashon HaKodesh to show that it has a mokar in Lashon HaKodesh, and that's why we accept it. There's many, many words like that, as you know, like kapandria. You know, it's crazy etymologies, but they're cute enough to allow the word to make sense in Hebrew. So, okay. Now, that is the general approach. There is the approach of the Rambam, which is astonishingly perfect and which on the surface seems absolutely crazy. Because according to Rabbi Meir, as we're going to see, you need to give two kalabonot if you bring a coin which is supposed to be two machzis ha-shekel. Instead, you bring a sela, and you say, look, here is the sela for myself and my friend. So we don't want to pay the exchange rate. We're giving you the full coin. According to Rabbi Meir, you not only have to pay the exchange rate, you have to pay two kalabons, which obviously seems to imply that there's no way out of the fact that Rabbi Meir holds that the machzis ha-shekel coin per se is inclusive of the kalabon. But that would mean that an individual who pays the kalabon, who pays the machzis ha-shekel, should also have to pay the kalabon, because each one of the people that is giving together one shekel, you'll pay two kalabons. So obviously, Rabbi Meir does not hold that it's an exchange rate, because why would you pay double for one exchange? That's ridiculous. And yet, on the other hand, the Rambam does not have the girsa in the Tosefta, which says that according to Rabbi Meir, anyone who brings a shekel brings a kalabon. The Rambam does have the girsa in the Yerushalmi that says kazera eva kadesh. So how the heck can he get away with saying that two people who bring a sela pay two kalbons while at the same time claiming that somebody who brings one shekel pays zero kalbon? This is the big confusion in the sugya of the shita of the Rambam in Rabbi Meir's kalbon. So l'chora, the only way to understand Rabbi Meir is to strip the meaning to its absolute pashtus of the words. And the Rambam is saying like this. And if you're Madaik in the Lashon of the Rambam, it works out beautifully. The Rambam introduces the sugya of the kalabon. Welcome home, Gavi and Mazel Tov. The Rambam introduces the sugya of the kalabon by saying that since there is a tremendous market surge for chatzi shekels at the time of the machzis ha-shekel, because of that, we are mechayev you to pay a premium for a machzis ha-shekel. That's how the Rambam introduces the coinage. Now, everybody believes that what the Rambam is saying is that it's a hechreya to pay for the shulchani. But of course, that breaks down the minute that the Rambam says that you have to pay two if two people are bringing together one shekel. Why in the world should they pay more than the price of the hechreya? So the brilliant understanding of the Rambam is that when the Gemara says kazera eva kadesh, what it's saying is you are responsible to bring a coin like this. It has nothing to do with being a perfect coin, a pure coin. All of that is read into the words. You have to bring this coin, which means if you want to bring a bunch of nickels and put them together to buy a machzis ha-shekel, then you're going to have to give what it costs to buy a machzis ha-shekel. If you want to bring a large coin and change it, you're going to have to pay what it costs to change it to bring a machzis ha-shekel, because you are personally responsible to bring kazeh. You have to bring a machzis ha-shekel. Now, since the price of the machzis ha-shekel increases dramatically at the time of Adar, when everybody's looking for the kazeh, so he wants that coin. That means that the machzis ha-shekel coin has two values. It has its innate metallic value, and it has its additional market value, which includes the additional market search for machzis ha-shekel. Therefore, if you bring the machzis ha-shekel itself, obviously, then you're bringing the coin itself, which includes both of those values, by definition, because that's what the value was to get the coin. Well, I'm giving you the coin. Thank you very much. Why the heck should I pay you any more? That's absurd. But if two of us are getting together and we are trying to buy a machzis ha-shekel, listen, buddy, if you bring us the machzis ha-shekel, that's fine. If you want to pay for a machzis ha-shekel in any other coinage, you have to pay a kalbon per shekel, because that's what a machzis ha-shekel is worth. Straightforward, as simple as can be, and that makes the Rambam the winner. Except, of course, if you have this girsa in the Tosefta that says that Alibid Rabbi Meir, you'd have to pay even for a single shekel. But, I mean, as we'll see in the Gemara, there's a lot of places where the Gemara takes out L'shaynes et Ramashma that. Anyway, that is basically the Kalbon issue. Now, Mi'ikr Haddin, obviously, the question would be, I mean, Lamaisa, if I'm giving for somebody else, I'm doing the person a favor, who has to take the fall for the additional Kalbon? I mean, as far as Beis Din is concerned, right, we're interested in the value. As we're going to see later on, if people are giving all of these machzis ha-shekel in Timbuktu, we do not take a big machzis ha-shekel shipment and pay FedEx $5,000 just to bring all those machzis ha-shekels. We'll use the machzis ha-shekels and translate them into golden dinarim, right? In which case, we'll pay them only $50. Why in the world should we maintain the machzis ha-shekel? Therefore, the din of the machzis ha-shekel be'etzem is in your act of nesina. But as far as Beis Din is concerned, what we want is really the value and not the value of the coin. Therefore, even though we were metakein to pay the value of the coins, because after all, the Torah wanted you to get this coin to them, but in practical terms, what the Beis HaMikdash got from you is perfectly okay, because we have that value. So if two people get together and they give a large shekel, it's no sweat off our backs. As a matter of fact, we'd probably have to pay to get all those coins put together into a larger coin so we can transport it. So we don't really care. Therefore, where were Chazal Koveya the Kalbon? Only in cases where you are being enforced at bringing your shekel. Once we're going to enforce you, we're going to enforce you all the way, baby, because this is the coin you were supposed to bring. The enforcement is for the giving. But suppose you are volunteering. So wherever you are involved in volunteering, we don't ask you to pay the kalabon. So if you had to say you're paying up for a poor man or something like that, then there's no kalabon. So in that case, if you've got a one shekel and you're also paying for somebody that we will not enforce, and forget about being so nice, even if you want to pay a kohen's collarbone, not as a gift, but because you owe him money, whatever it is. So since we won't enforce the kohen because of the problem, either covet of the kuna or because of the darkei shalom, the two lashonos that we had in the learning yesterday, but we will therefore not enforce the kalban. So if you're coming to pay something that wouldn't have been memushkan, no kalban. So therefore, continues the Mishnah, who is chayev in kalban? Only the people that we would enforce. Levim, Yisraelim, Gerim, Avadim, Shukrarim. But those people who we wait upon them to bring their Machzis HaShekel, like the Kohanim, and certainly Nashim, Avadim, Uktanim, in the event that they bring their Shekel, or in the event that you're paying for them, as we'll see, you don't have to pay. So if you're paying for a coin, or you're paying a Shekel Ayat coin, or Ayat Isha, or Ayat Eved, Ayat Katan, in any of the cases where you're paying for someone who is not chayev in the mashkan, he may be chayev in the actual bringing, but we won't be mamashkan him, and then you yourself do not have to pay for that kalban. V'im shakala yadova yad chaviro. On the other hand, if you're giving a coin for you and your friend, and this is not as a gift, remember, we talked about where you're volunteering, volunteers are given a special consideration, because of the fact that we won't be mamashkin you to do a favor to a guy. Here we're talking about you're putting out money for him, but you fully intend to be repaid, so it's a loan. We're not giving him a free shekel. So there, in that case, you would have to pay one kalabon, because basically you're paying for the exchange. Rebbe Meir says, no, you're not paying for the exchange. You have to pay two kalabonot, because the chatzi shekel, so as we explained, big machlokas, every person who gives a machzis hashekel owes a kalbon, even for himself. That's the simple understanding of Rabbi Meir, not the Rambam's understanding, and nowhere near as beautiful, I must add. Or it means he has to pay shnei kalbonot, because every individual has that responsibility of getting that coin to Hagdash. So, but it's not fair. I mean, why should I pay two kalbonot if l'maisa it's only one exchange? Listen, buddy, this is not about exchange. It's about the fact that anybody who wants to pay us a machzis hashekel pays a machzis hashekel plus its added value. What's your problem? Fine. Now, suppose somebody's giving for himself a machzis hashekel, but he needs change. He doesn't have a machzis hashekel. So then if he gives a shekel and he takes a shekel back in exchange, then he would also be chayev two kalabonot, which the Gemara will discuss. Is this only according to Rabbi Meir, where you're paying one for your machzis hashekel and one for your exchange? Or would the Rabbanan be made in this? That we're going to discuss when we get to the din in the Gemara. Hashokel ayad ani. Suppose somebody is giving a sela, and over there he's going to get his machzis hashekel, a machzis hashekel back, or ayadei shechino, ayadei ben iro. In all these cases, you are potter from the kalabon, because over here, it was not a halva'a. It was basically a gift, and therefore, he's not able to be mumushkan on the gift. And there was never a takana in cases of non-mishkun on a gift. Others turn this into very much there's no kalabon for being nice. It's one of these good Samaritan laws. Okay. That's a machlokas, how to understand it among the late mefarshim of the Yerusha. So in that case, you'll be potter. But if you're only giving it as a halva'ah, then you're chayev, like anybody else, because then it's like they themselves are giving it, and they're chayev. And, or the other approaches, then you're not being so nice, and you don't get the Good Samaritan discount. All right. So now we get into another question. That is the idea that we've spoken about in many other contexts, which is called tfusat habayit. Tfusat habayit means that an estate that is inherited by a number of heirs. So let's imagine a case of two brothers that inherit an estate. And during the lifetime of the father, the estate always, the father that is, always provided the shekel for his two children. And now the father is dead, and they continue to pay the same entire sela instead of splitting it, because that's what the father did. He was paying for them, and he didn't have to pay a kalbon. So they continue to pay from the estate, and they never split the estate. They simply continue living off of the estate in equitable relationship. Fine. So in the event that they are chayev b'kalabon, the only way that they would be chayev b'kalabon is if they had actually split the estate. If they had split the estate, then even if they subsequently made a partnership, that partnership is not a reconstruction of the estate. And therefore, the din is that they would have to pay the kalabon because they no longer, they're no different than anybody else. Just because they happen to once be brothers in an estate, therefore they shouldn't pay a kalabon. Obviously, they'll pay a kalabon. But in that case, they have made a new corporation. And the new corporation is Potter from Meiser Behema because we learn out from the Pusik that the only time that you're chayef to pay Meiser Behema is if it's yours. But if it's a partnership, there is no Meiser Behema. Therefore, wherever there is the chiev of a kalabon, that means that there's a new company. The company doesn't pay Meiser Behema. But over there, each individual who's part of the company, of course, pays his own kalabon. But if they do have to take Meiser Behema, that means that this is still the original estate that has not been split. But in that case, they're Peturim and Akalabon. So it turns out that the two halachas are actually mirror images. Now, how much exactly is Akalabon? So there's a machlokas. According to Rabbi Meir, it's a full ma'ah of keseb. And according to the Chachamim, it's a chatzi ma'ah. So a ma'ah would be a sixth of a dinner, you will recall. But the dinner is a machzis ha-shekel. So in other words, a ma'ah is 1/12 of the shekel. So that means that you would, of what we call the machzis ha-shekel, we refer to as a shekel nowadays. So then the kalabon is 1/12. According to the Chachamim, they say it's a chatzi ma'ah, so it would be 1/24 of a shekel. Again, a shekel in the Mishnah. That means a machzis ha-shekel in the Torah. Okay, says the Gemara, you're driving me nuts. You just said in the previous Mishnah that we will not be mimashken a kotan. Okay, but that means we will be toveya. And here you say that if they give it, you can accept it. That means we will not be toveya. What in the heck? So afa pisha amru will be mekabel it. In other words, you're telling me, but we can't ask them for it. If they're giving it to us, then we know they're giving it to us, b'leiv shalom. We're not going to ask them to give it to us. Holy tibor, ein tovim. So make up your mind, for God's sake. Achat amra tovim. Here in the Mishnah we just had yesterday, you said, we will ask them to give, but we won't be mamashkin. And then we get to the next Mishnah, v'achat amra ein tovim. And then you change your mind. Says, come on, I don't understand. What's the big deal? We already explained there's a big difference. Kan b'shevish de sarot. We're talking about in the original Mishnah, where the guy is a godol, he's reached puberty. The only thing is, he's not 20 years old, so he's not chayev because of the kol ha'over ala pikudim. The kan b'shelovish de sarot. Our Mishnah is talking about a cotton who's literally a cotton. So over there, we're not going to ask a cotton. It's ridiculous. Why would we ask a cotton? If a child comes and he says, I'd like to give you the savings I've saved up all year, for Machzis HaShekel is beautiful, very sweet, and we'll accept it from him. Big questions, by the way, of how we can accept it from him, since a cotton, Lechora, doesn't have the right to make the kinyan of being able to give it to us. So how will he ever be able to actually contribute something? These are big shilas. Among the Achronim, including the Ktzayis, speaks about this and so on. What was the meaning of the Zechus that the Chachomim gave to Ketanim to be able, to be Osek in business and so on? And he's Mechadish from here that once they have that Kayach, then it is applicable to issues that are Diraisa as well. So it's not a question of we're pretending. It's that having given it to it, that is their Kayach. Okay, but this is not our question right now. Now, the next thing we learn is that a Nochri and a Kuti will never take a Chatzi Shekel from them, and we will not accept Zavin, Zavais, Chatois, Hashamais. So why? I understand the Pasuk about not accepting from the Machzis HaShekel, but why if a Kuti, I don't understand, a Kuti is telling you that he's Chai of a Korban Chatas, so you're not going to accept the Korban Chatas from him? How is that? Must be that you're going according to the Mandi Amar who holds that kutim are gere arayis. So Amar Rabbi Ba, so if this is Rabbi Ba, then it's Rabbi Abba, tipater, kemandi omar kuti kenochri. So apparently we're going, according to Mandi omar, all kutim are gere arayis, dit palgin, we know that there's a machlokas about this. Kuti kenochri divrei Rabbi. By the way, all of this is before the gezera that was made by Chazal on the kutim, to consider them to be goyim l'chol davar. That's it. That's Gzeirah d'Rabbanan, and that is true according to everybody. But the question over here is, at the time of the Mishnah, what exactly what we're referring to? So Rebbe holds that initially the halacha is mi'ikra din, that a goy has a din of a ger arayot, and therefore it's not really a ger. Whereas Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, amir kuti is kisrael l'chol davar, and therefore, the Mishnah wouldn't make any sense. So our Mishnah can only go al libet Rebbe, because otherwise, what are you talking about? A Jew wants to bring a kinei zav and a kinei zavis, so we won't accept it from him? How is that possible? Says the Gemara, not necessarily. That's Rabbi Ba's approach. But Rabbi Lazar, note that we've dropped the olive both on poor Rababa and Rabbi Lazar. Keep a big plate for the various olives, because you can use them ultimately for your drinks, but meanwhile, we'll also see that it's quite confusing, because sometimes those olives fall into the plate, sometimes they're served together with the champagne, and therefore, when we talk about Reb Lozer, we often talk about him as Reb Elozer, which is definitely very confusing, but remember that Reb Lozer or Reb Elozer is all Reb Elozer ben Pedat, it's the same person, and it's a reference to the Amora Reb Lozer. So he answers that, no, you know what? The Mishnah's point over here is not referring to kutim. It could be that initially the Mishnah was saying that we should not accept donations for the Beis HaMikdash from kusim and nochrim. Yes, that's true. But then the second part of the Mishnah switches its focus, and it's going only on nochrim. It's not going on kutim, because, of course, if we don't hold of Rebbe, so then kutim, they're mechuyev in korbanos. You can't prevent them from bringing korbanos. That would be crazy. Utnikin. I mean, everybody knows that a ger brings a korban. I don't understand how you could talk. I don't care if you don't like them. I don't care if they ended up being chozer l'surah and they decided they don't want to be Jewish anymore. Tough on them. The bottom line is, it says beferish in the pasuk that we learned in the Brisa, a ger brings carbonus, and doesn't matter whether he's gone bad. Vitani Kane. Adam, this is the classic pasuk that we're derish all of the time. Daberel b'nei Yisrael v'amar talayim Adam ki akriv mikem korban la'ashem mina beima mina bakar and so on and so forth. We darish in that pasuk. Adam, that comes to be mar begerim. Mikem means v'lo kulchem. You can't all bring. We will not accept it from a mumer. But if someone is not a mumer, and this guy wants to be Shemer Mitzvahs, this Kusi, so of course he brings a carbon. How could the Mishnah say he doesn't bring a carbon? Therefore, the Mishnah is talking about, please mute yourselves. Therefore, the Mishnah is talking about specifically, I see Akiva needs muting here. All right. So therefore, the Mishnah must be talking about specifically, in this case, it must be talking about the nochrim. Says the Gemara, that's crazy. How can we be talking about nochrim? The Mishnah itself shows that Rabbi Elazar, which is Reb Lozer, as I say, the Mishnah itself shows that Reb Lozer is wrong. Can't mean. Because, look, it says, Emekablam Yadam Kinei Zavi, Zavais Kinei Yoldais. Look, you want to talk to me about the chatos and so on. Okay, I understand that even goyim can want to bring a carbon chatos for being over on Avodah Zarah or Geza, whatever, right? But, I mean, what do goyim know about zavim, zavais? They don't have concepts of zavim, zavais. It's the kusim have concepts of zavim and zavais. I mean, according to their own explanation of the psukim. But, I mean, it's got to be talking about kusim. I mean, who else? V'chiyesh kinei zavim, zavais benochrim. What do they have to do with the dinim of Ziv? They don't keep those dinim at all. They don't even know that there are these issues. So who would it be talking about? It would have to be talking about kusim. And that's exactly the opposite of Reb Lozer. Says the Gemara, okay, so what are you going to say? You're going to say like it's going like Rababa? I mean, then you also have a problem. Because, look, if you're now understanding that the last words of the Mishnah about Kinei Zavin and Kinei Zavas are specifically a remez to Kusim, so then it turns out that the Mishnah has completely flipped its focus. Because in the beginning, the Mishnah said, we're not Mekabel Min HaNochrim, and we throw in Kusim as an ancillary point, right? Or from Kusim. But then all of a sudden, the Nochrim are not even being spoken about because the Sefer is talking about things that don't even make sense to being applying to Nochrim. And all of a sudden, we switch our entire focus to Kusim. This makes sense to you? That the Reish is Benochrim and the Sefer is Bekusim? I mean, the same problem that you view as a problem of Rebbe Lozer, I mean, it creates a different problem for Rebbe Abba. Says the Gemara, yes. Ani Keni, absolutely. Sometimes you got to bite the bullet, baby. Reish Benochrim is Sefer Bekusim, right? We started off with the main focus on the Nochrim, and now we talked about Nochrim in terms of Chatas and Ashram, and then we finally got to this last piece, which is not relevant to Goyim. It's not like we're focusing only on the Nochrim. It's just a question of its relevancy. Om Reb Yochanan. Actually, there is a machlokas, very important machlokas, Reb Yochanan Reish Lakish, about the Pusik in Ezra and whether it is something that is all the Dereis, or whether this was a special din at the time of the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash HaSheni. Because remember what was going on over there. These people were doing their best to try to prevent the Beis HaMikdash from being built. And they were very choshesh over there that the only reason that these people were dedicating money to the Beis HaMikdash was in order to mess up the effort by trying to take over. So therefore, they would say, well, listen, we've given them this money, and, you know, we feel that this should be done and that should be done. And meanwhile, they get into all kinds of arguments, and they figure that by that time, they'll get courage to change his mind, because meanwhile, they're writing all of these letters claiming that the Beis HaMikdash is a very dangerous beginning of a rebellion of the Jews, and so on and so forth. So it does have some element of being related to local geopolitics. That sounds like an oxymoron, but it wasn't at the time. So it was the local geopolitics that ended up defining things local in time and not defining things for Deres. Says Reb Yochanan, absolutely, that is correct. There are two separate issues that are involved. One is the geopolitical situation at the time. One is the question of whether it's appropriate to have something in the Beis HaMikdash that everybody knows was given by Donald Trump. New. So we've got this beautiful thing in the Beis HaMikdash. Hey, that's Trump's donation to the Beis HaMikdash. Trump in the Beis HaMikdash, you got to be kidding. Okay, so that's a different issue. But that would only be where it's identifiable. So obviously anything of Donald Trump is very identifiable. So this would be Donald Trump's menorah. Or this would be Donald Trump's, even the Gemara says, in Erechin, even if it would be just like one of the Kalya Orevs on the roof. And so it was one of the scarecrows or the sharp pieces of metal. There, I say, Rabbi Yochanan, that's inappropriate. So there's two different dinim. In the beginning, when we were just building the Beis HaMikdash, we will not accept anything from them, not even money. In mekabli me'em lo davar mesuyam v'lo davar she'eno mesuyam, whether it's noticeable as a specific object or not. Once the Beis HaMikdash was already built, basof, mekabli me'em davar she'eno mesuyam, cash will accept. Your cash is good for us, because we've already built it. What are you going to do? But something that's inappropriate to have in the Beis HaMikdash, no, we don't want. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omer, never, ever. I don't know where Rabbi Yochanan comes off reading the Pusik the way he wants to read the Pusik by inserting in it his explanations of geopolitics and appropriateness. The Pusik says that Ezra said, no way, Jose. That's all. And if that's what it said, then it was referring to anything across the board, whether it's cash, whether it's a davar mesuyam, I don't care. Now, it certainly seems that this braita argues on Rabbi Yochanan, because now there's a lot of mess-ups in the girsa. So it should say, Ein mekablim mehem egdesh unedavar lebedekabayim. We will not accept from goyim any type of egdesh and anything that is given lebedekabayit, and note that it does not make any difference between at the time that we're building the Beis HaMikdash and no time, which is much we won't even accept money. So here the gears is really confusing. So the probably the correct gears is like this. Petorlas, you can answer it like this. Ibait emas. Petorla means ibait ema, that it's referring to bein betchila, bein besov, but it's only referring to a davar mesuyam, and it's not talking about cash. That's how Rabbi Yochanan understands that the bride is limited to a davar mesuyam because of its inappropriateness at any time, or petarla, or ibayit ema. We put in the words over here, this, like the Gra does, petarla batchila, that it's referring to dafka at the time of the binyan. And then enochinami, it's even if it's just cash. And what you got to do with the cash is you got to get rid of it. Because, why is that? Because the kedusha is chal, you see. And if the goy gives it, then the kedusha will be chal on it, even though we don't want it. So therefore, somebody could end up being nichshal in it and be over on the ila. Therefore, we have to take it to the Yam HaMelech in order to make sure that no one is nichshal. Okay, now let's talk about Rishon ben Lakish. Rishon ben Lakish, he argues with Rabbi Yochanan Yotz, Bein betchila, Bein besof, Ein mekablamim, nothing, lo davar mesuyam, lo davar she'ein mesuyam. Now, we've got a Mishnah that seems to go against Rishon ben Lakish. Tani, because what are you going to do with the Mishnah in Erechim? Hakol shavim, she'ein nodrin v'nidarim. Everybody is made that goyim can actually make nidarim, and they can be nidarim. Now, the pashtas over here is that it's a reference to the machlokas there in Erechin about whether a goy can be ne'erach or whether a goy can be ma'arich. Everybody's made that they can be nidar v'nidar. So what that seems to mean is that if they're making a neder of domi alai as opposed to erechi alai, remember, market value is called domi. The defined value as given in the Torah is called erchi, but everybody is made that they can pay a neder of their value is what it seems to mean, or somebody else could say, I want to donate the value of this goy. That would be the meaning of nidrin. But the problem is that according to Rosh Lakish, what are we going to do with that money? That money goes to the Bedek Abayit. And I thought he said you can't give money, even money to the Bedek Abayit. Ptorla, so he's going to explain that the Mishnah in Erechin is referring to a korban eila. That's what it means. Not nidarim and nodrim to bring their value, and that goes to Beis HaMikdash. No, they can bring korbanos. Everybody is made that a goy can bring a korban. The only question over here is whether he can make a donation. Hey, wait a minute. It says nodrin and nidrin. Nodrin, I understand. You can be noder a korban eila. That's what it means. They can be noder a korban eila. Thank you very much. Nidrin means what? I make a neder that this guy should be my korban oil, and then I bring him on the mizbeach. What are you insane? How can you use the word nidrin? How can you make a guy into an oil? What is that supposed to mean? So that's necha nidrin oil, nidrin oil. What does that mean? I mean, even if you'd want to say it means I can make a neder that this guy should bring an oil. How can I make a neder that the guy should bring an oil? So what does that mean? No, Reish Lakish will have to mean that it's talking about. A Yisrael says, Hare alai ola, right? And this guy hears. This guy hears. And he says, this guy made an eder to bring an ola. I'm going to take care of it for him. So that Mashra Amar said, whatever he was b'chayv himself is alai. So, okay, fine. That's the equivalent of nodrin, but it's a nodrin that occurs through the fact that Yisrael made an eder and ended up being b'chayv the goy. Okay, sort of squishy. But that's how it is that Reish Lakish is going to understand. Now, the problem is that Reish Lakish still got a problem. Because if the guy does bring the oila, what's the halacha if he did not send the nesachim with that oila? The din is that Bezdin has money set aside to bring the nesachim, as we'll see later on, for korbanos that were sent without nesachim, either by goyim or from overseas or whatever. Then, let's say a month later, we get a check for the nesachim from that guy. So the halacha is over there that is put into the special pushka, the special box, as we'll be talking about later, for motar nesachim. And where does that go? That goes to buy clay sharet. So it turns out that the money nimtza mevi davar. Now the Gra puts in she'eno mesuyam because certainly it's cash. We're not going to have a particular piece by a particular person to call it a davar mesuyam. That's crazy. But it's a problem like Reish Lakish because we end up bringing an actual davar that is eno mesuyam, which he says is aser. Hativ Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bon explains the answers very clear. Listen. We got bigger problems than that, buddy. Okay? You never explained the big problem. Didn't we have the Mishnah in Erechin that Goyim are Ne'erachim or Orchim? That's a machlokas over there. I don't care. But the bottom line is, if you're telling me that Goyim can be, they can actually make an Erech, which is Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. They could be Ne'erach, which is Rabbi Meir's Shita. But bottom line is, nobody asks, how do you explain the fact that a Goy can bring his money to pay for his Erech? Where does that money go? Lo lebedekabayatinon. So how do you explain the fact? Nobody was bothered by that. What do you think? Rish Lakish didn't know the Mishnah. So the point was, Eich mada atamar taman. Whatever you're going to say over there, you're going to say over here. So I'll tell you what you say over there. It's a davar poshut. This guy is giving money. He has no idea where he's giving the money to. As far as he's concerned, I want to give my value to the Holy Temple. We're going to use that money for a carbon. He doesn't know. At the end, we define what's going to be done with that money. So may Elehem ain't buying the Bedekabayat. That's magic as far as he's concerned. He never gave that money to the Bedekabayat. He gave that money to the Holy Temple. Fine. So that's perfectly okay. So Kenata Marafaka. Then it's exactly the same thing over here. His guy is, he wants the Mozart and the Sochim. He sent in a check to pay for his Nesachim. He wanted it to go as a carbon. He had no idea we already paid for his Nesachim. And then Elishamayim with the Mitkaven. Now it just happened to fall to Klisharis. That's none of the guy's business. Okay, where does Reish Lakish even know his din from? So I take out all of the other words, all right? Not Ma'avad La, Reish Shimon ben Lakish Potar La, he brings his marker from the simple meaning of the Pasuk. Lo v'chem v'lanu, livnot bayit le'lohenu, that's all. Hell or high water. Now, Reb Chizki, Omar, Rabbi Simon, Sha'al. Remember that we have two different approaches to Sha'al. Sha'al could mean boy. Sha'al often means in the Yerushalmi, would you agree? Meaning it's a nice way to present your point of view. When there's never any response to Sha'al, it's very mistaber that he was presenting a point of view nicely. And the Gemara never responds. So he says, look, if that's the case, me'atav, we're going to take the Pusik in Ezra seriously, and we're going to take it Kipshutai, then that means that we would not accept donations even for plumbing for the city, or for the city walls, the Chomot Ha'ir, or for the Migdalei Ha'ir. Because the Pasuk continues on to say, Beferish, after it says, Lo v'chem v'lanu, it says, Elohei HaShamayim hu yatzliach lanu, v'anachnu avadav nakum uvaninu, v'lachem ein chelek utzdaka v'zikaron b'Yerushalayim. You don't have anything. That means anything in the city. So it's because of this that we said before that that pasuk actually means they can't be part of the entire idea of the shkolim, because in the end, the shiurei halishka is used for those purposes. Okay, so then we go on to discuss the kalbon. The gra takes out this entire business. Okay, so we'll just forget it. And we will start with my time at Rabbi Meir. So why does Rabbi Meir say that the person would pay two kalabonot? This is how the Gra changes the gears. So why does he pay two kalabonot? Because the Amar Rabbi Meir, kishem sheshiklot Torah kach kalbonot Torah. The kalbon is a diraisa, because kasava Rabbi Meir benotein shiklot shalem. Now this is the problem in the gears, which is changed completely, and the Rambam doesn't have. And that therefore there is no such halacha that if you pay your own simple shekel, what it means is noten shiklo shalem. If you give a whole shekel, meaning a selah is what it means, which is two shkalim, and he said if you give it for you and for a friend, that you would be chayev. We'd have to change the girsa here. The shu chayev shnei kalabonot. And that indeed makes perfectly good sense over here. Why is that? Because that's the amount that you're chayav midiraisa. What's the makar? The Omar Rabbi Meir kimin matbeya shaleish otzia kadosh baruch hu mitachat kisei kvoda, and he showed Moshe herao la Moshe v'amalo zeyitnu kazeyitnu. So we had the two approaches: the simple approach that it has to be pure, and you have to make sure that you've got all of the value of the silver without any kind of other metal mixture, and the Rambam's approach kazeyitnu. This is the coin you have to give. Oh, man, no comparison. I mean, obviously, right? So, kazeyitnu, you have to give that coin, and because of that, the value of the coin goes up, and you've got to take care of that. Natan Sela. Next thing we have in the Mishnah. Somebody gives a Sela for himself and he wants change. And he wants Litol Shekel. So then he would have to get two Kalbonot. Now the question is that an extension of Rebbe Meir? So says Rebbe Lazar, well, obviously that's an extension of Rebbe Meir, right? Because Rebbe Meir says, look, first of all, you have to pay your Shekel as a real Shekel, okay? If you were coming to give us a Shekel, we would expect a Kalbon with it if it's in any other coinage. Now, you also expect us to do the service of cashing your coins and giving you change? That costs a Kalbon for the price of the exchange. So it's two separate deals, okay? But according to the Tanna Kamma, you would, I mean, obviously, it's really two special separate deals, but like, why take advantage of Egdish? You want a service, we charge. It's not going to be worse than Bank Mizrahi. So now, the Raya, that this is true, says Rebbe Lazar, the Tanya, it says in the Braita, Elu Chayavim Bekalamon, and it says over there, if you take a shekel and change, so the Chachomim say shekel echad, and Rebbe Meir says shtei kalabonot. So then that means in this case, it's only going a little bit to Rebbe Meir. Rav says, no, not true. Everybody agrees, even the Tanna Kamma agrees, that echad, take off the Rebbe Meir, echad shekel shu notein, v'echad shekel shu notel. It still makes sense, because you're paying a chatzi shekel with a selah, you are mechuyev to pay the exchange rate. Now, if you want also a service from Egdash, so pay for the service. Now, if that's true according to the Tanna Kamma, then it would mean al-dai to the Rav, Rebbe Meir would hold you to have to pay three kalbonis, because there's three issues. One issue is the actual value of the shekel midiraisa has to be this chatzi shekel coin, which we are koveya that if you use any other coinage, you have to pay the extra value of a shekel, a machzis shekel coin. That's a given. So if you're paying with some other coinage, are you paying with some other coinage, sir? Yes, I am, but all I want to, sir, answer the question. Are you paying with another coinage? I am, but I want to, excuse me. You owe us one shekel and kalabon for your machzis shekel. Thank you. Now, what is it you wanted? But I wanted to give you that machzis shekel by cashing a seller. Thank you. That will be one kalabon extra, please. Oh my God. You guys are insane. Give me my change. That'll be another kalabon for change. Thank you, sir. So according to Rebbe Meir, you'd have to pay three because if the Tanna Kamma holds two, so then Rebbe Meir would have to hold three, right? And Rebbe Yirmiyah, when Rebbe Yirmiyah was also Rebbe Yirmiyah, he quoted Rebbe Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak b'shem Rav that, yes, that's exactly what I hold. Shlosha kol banot inon, I hold that Rebbe Meir holds, you got to give three. One is the shekel that you're giving. One is the shekel that you're taking, like the Tanna Kamma. And one is kazeh. This is the what the shekel is, and it's got to be that coin, and therefore we want it. Now, Achin Vashutafim, we said, if they're Chayavim B'Kalabon, they're Peturim Vashut Behima, what case is that? That case, if they're Chayav B'Kalabon, is when they divided the estate, and then they made a new corporation. So then they're Potter from Meiser Behima. And the case where they're Chayav B'Meiser Behima, they're Potter from Kalabon, that's talking about that they continue to live on the estate, and therefore they continue doing exactly what they did before. No Kalabon, yes, Meiser Behima. Now, says Reb Lazar, now wait a minute. The estate could consist of different elements. It could,
Rebbe just changed the Girsa, right?
Yes. Okay. Now, wait a minute. The estate could contain in it livestock, which was an Ogea the Meiser element, and all kinds of other things, and cash, and bonds, and so on and so forth, right? Now, just because they split one thing doesn't mean that they split the other thing. And you're forgetting a very important point. And that is, what about Brera? If they split this thing down the middle, so then what we ought to say, if we hold a Brera, is that each child got what was coming to him from the time that his father died. Because they didn't do any kind of exchange that we should say they went into business. I bought you off, you bought me off. Nobody bought anybody off. We continue to live on the estate separately. That's called Brera. So therefore, I would say that the Mishnah only makes sense if they actually didn't do a straight split. So let's say one guy takes the Gedim. He says, I like the Gedim. You take all the Tiyashim, okay? Or the Tiyashim can have the Gedim. So by doing that, they obviously are buying off of each other what was not initially theirs. Because the Brera would only have gone straight down the middle. That's why they're considered to be a new company. But if they just continued splitting things straight down the middle and living on the estate separately, so they were choku gedim keneged gedim et yoshim keneged yoshim, then Breira tells us, hu choku misha arishona, that retroactively this was yours the whole time. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, I don't hold to this Breira jazz, says Rabbi Yochanan. Makes no difference to me. A few choku gedim neged gedim et yoshim neged yoshim. Bottom line is, they're buying out the other party with the chelek that they had in each molecule of everything here. And that's a buyout. And a buyout is a new partnership. And therefore, they're pterim in amaiser. And this is kehuda tanina kaman. This is similar to the mission that we have in Bechoros, which comes after this, talks about all of that sugya, that a lakuach, an animal that you bought that hadn't been meiser, or that was given to you as a gift, the din is not like meiser on grain. The animal is not usher because it wasn't meiser. Only the person in whose flock the animal was born is chayav to give meiser. And since this was not your flock when the animal was born, it was your father's flock, it's not yours. And that basically, explains the issue today. Now, we're still in the middle of the question of what happens with the stocks, bonds, and so on. We'll get to that, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow.